is here.
Previously on the Woody and Wilcox Show.
So a lot more people are having trouble with names than I maybe we would have ever imagined. And again, I feel like we are, you know what? We're really helping society here. We're doing the important things.
Are you sure?
Nope. But I am enjoying it. It started because there was a woman who became sort of a viral thing on the internet. She had been calling her next door neighbor the wrong name for 14 years. And didn't realize it until there had been a death in the family. She asked another neighbor how the woman was doing and said the wrong name. And the neighbor was like, who are you talking about? My next door neighbor. That's not your neighbor.
Oh.
Which apparently is a lot less surprising once you start hearing everybody who's calling in. Now, more than welcome at 844-4WW-SHOW. Or, of course, there's our voicemail, the Fez line. At 704-FEZ-3200.
Looks like Bernard is on the phone. Bernard?
Oh, you even got it wrong, which is part of the story.
Hmm?
My actual name is spelled Bernard, but I pronounce it Bernard. So I can understand that being an issue. But part of the problem is, over the years, I've learned to just stick with the nickname. So I tell everybody to call me Bo. My family calls me Bo, everything. People still get that wrong. I work with a guy who still calls me Robert, and I've worked there for months now. I don't know how he got Robert out of Bo.
But now, do you correct him?
I have corrected him, and he seems to go along with it. Traversely, now, I think it's just a running joke. I know other coworkers have corrected him, everything, so I think it's just kind of a running joke at this point. But I do believe that for probably the first month working there that he honestly believed my name was Robert, even though I was like, yeah, just call me Bo. How he got Robert out of two letters of Bo, I have no idea.
Now, how did you end up deciding to go? Was it just because of your parents, or were you the one, the driving force behind Bernard?
Bernard is actually a family name. I'm named after my father, so I'm the second, but it was also my grandfather's name. It was a couple generations back past him. It's just a family name that my parents used. My mom always said that I was too small to be, you know, a Bernard, though. So she's the one who called me Bo. And then it just evolved into...
Your mom says you're too small to be a Bernard.
Well, when I was an infant, you know, you don't necessarily look at an infant and go, hey, you're Bernard. So it was a family nickname to begin with.
You know what? I'm going to give him credit. I haven't ever looked at an infant and said, hey, you're Bernard.
There you go.
You're right. I stand by that. Yep.
I just always found it interesting that I still get it wrong. It's two letters. How you can't really mess that up too much, but they still do get it wrong.
Right. Thanks, Michael. We appreciate the call.
So Neil has hit it on the head. What I was talking about earlier at Woody and Wilcox, guy I see at a store all the time that I deliver to calls me Keith. He's been calling me Keith for months. I'm now too scared to correct him at this point.
Right.
His name's Neil. But there is like there's a limit. And at some point, once you go beyond that, you're like, I can't now. I can't correct him now. I mean, you know, it's hard. Let's put it that way.
Thanks to Jonathan ringing in an instant message on Facebook. This actually happened to me a couple of girlfriends ago. Been dating for about 2 or 3 weeks. First night of relations with this woman, she's like, Steve, that was really good. My name's not Steve. That's when I learned I was not the only one having relations with her.
Well, maybe.
Broke it off quickly afterwards. Still had sex. Consider it a win.
Yeah, but maybe just didn't know the name. Or you know, it's a mistake. It doesn't guarantee that she's cheating on you. I don't think.
Really?
Does it?
Yeah.
I mean, she may be, but yeah. I don't think it's a guarantee.
But why Steve?
Why Steve?
Is it her boss?
Jonathan?
Is it her brother? Like, why is that top of her mind?
Ex-boyfriend?
I'm not sure.
Just say nothing then. You don't need to use the name. Great job. High five. No name.
I'm surprised he quit on it.
Is that really?
I mean, that's all it took to...
One name?
Yeah, I mean, see if she does it again, right?
If it's a different name? Bobby!
I mean, most guys would probably be like, I'll give it another chance. See if it happens again
right.
next time.
I know.
I'm not going to rule it out just because of one.
Right. Maybe she was still asleep.
You can always ring in on our voicemail too. The Fez line at 704-FEZ-3200.
Hey guys, just listening to the show, talking about calling somebody the wrong name. My first cousin, she dated a guy for about 8 years, and I called him Chuck. And nobody never said nothing, nobody ever said anything, and then probably about right before they broke up, we was all at Myrtle Beach on vacation, and he was proposing to her. By the time the plane flew by, I stand beside my cousin, and she said, look at that, Stacy. I said, some guy's asking a girl named Stacy. I said, his name's Wayne. And she said, yeah. I said, too bad it ain't Chuck. She said, that is Chuck, Jay. His name is Wayne. You've been calling him the wrong name for 7 years. Y'all have a good day. Take it easy.
Flyover with the marriage proposal. Which, by the way, he identified as right before they broke up.
Right.
I realize that has nothing to do with the topic at hand, but you caught that, right?
Yeah, I did.
So right before they broke up, there was the marriage proposal on the plane over the beach.
8 years, and I called him Chuck. And nobody never said nothing. Nobody ever said anything. And then probably about right before they broke up, we was all at Myrtle Beach on vacation, and he was proposing to her.
So I guess she said no.
Look at that, Stacy. All you can eat crab legs for $29.99. Not that one, the other plane.
The following program is for entertainment purposes only.
Really? That's amazing.
It's the Woody and Wilcox Show.
They simply couldn't imagine being without each other.
With Woody.
Ah, what the hell is the matter with you?
And Wilcox.
Oh, brother, this guy stinks!
It's the Woody and Wilcox Show.
This is insanity!
The Woody and Wilcox Show.
This is like, you know, when you're getting your legs waxed and they whip that thing off real fast. That's what this is like.
And now, it's the Woody and Wilcox Show.
I've been through this a million times in all my years in the theater. Take a deep breath. Good. Blow it out. Let's just do a good show, okay? Everybody do a good show.
All right. So Chelsea's second least favorite day of the week. Is that right or wrong?
No, I don't feel like they're really ranked after Tuesday.
Oh, just Tuesday and everything else?
Kind of.
So Monday is the same as a Friday?
No, that's a lot of thought that needs to be put into that I'm not prepared for.
Oh, I thought there was already a chart. I didn't realize I was treading new ground or charting new water, doing something new.
Tuesday, the worst, obviously. Friday, yay, the best of the work week.
Not obvious. Speaking of names and the wrong names and all that sort of thing, thanks to everybody who chimed in on that. You heard it there in the replay. And whether it was the Woody and Wilcox Facebook page or at Woody and Wilcox on Twitter, there's our voicemail is always there for you. The Fez line at 704-FEZ-3200.
By the wrong name. So my name is Brendan, and everybody obviously calls me Brandon. But my favorite is when I get mail to Mr. Brenda. And, you know, I guess it comes from a long history. My dad's name is Douglas, and he's gotten mail to Dongless, D-O-N-G-L-A-S, and Double Ass, D-O-U-B-L-A-S. So I guess we're pretty used to it.
Double Ass!
Reminds me of Dougals.
Reminds you of Dougals.
Douglas Dougals. Dougals Baldhead. Do you have you guys forgotten that listener?
I need more than that.
Why don't I just not talk for a while since I'm not saying the right
things? It's not that you're not saying the right things. You just said it reminds me of Dougals, and then you just stayed quiet. And I'm saying, give me more.
You're not giving us enough context.
Remember Dougals Baldhead?
Yes. Said no one ever.
Yes. You should remember Dougal's bald head.
I just sort of do.
Yeah, it was a letter that
Don't throw me under the bus.
When I hear Douglas.
Yes, Chelsea, you know how the radio works. There are occasionally a couple of people who don't know every inside story. So I'm just asking you to go ahead and refresh with the Dougal's bald head.
I thought you guys would remember. When I hear Douglas and then Double Ass, I think Dougal's bald head, a listener we had who sent us a package. And that's a correct, that's his real name, I believe. Thank you.
All right. Recap skills need help. And we also got this on the press line.
By the wrong name. So my name is Brendan.
Wrong one.
Yeah, I have a construction company with 8 employees.
they all call me Dick. My name is Keith.
Right.
Well, I
think that applies to any job, by the way, when you're the boss.
That's right.
Just FYI, I don't know that it has anything to do with number of employees or, you know, field of expertise. So Dougal's bald head, though, is what that reminds me of as a listener. So it's Wednesday, Chelsea's fourth least favorite day of the week, and that means Woody Game Wednesday is on the docket. We tried to somehow to get out of the obligation, but haven't quite been able to do it, unfortunately. So that's coming up here in a little bit. But let's focus on what really matters. KFC has changed the kernel again, and I don't feel like we had any warning.
Are we up to like 8 or 9?
I don't know the number. I've stopped counting. I'm not prepared to get on board with what they're doing in the modern times at KFC. Did you see who it was? Hang on to that. I'll share that important information coming up in the chat. I will say this, while I'm not a fan of what they're doing at KFC as far as the kernels go, I don't know if you've seen the new commercial, but I do have to give them an A+ on the commercial. And I'll tell you, I'll play some audio from it, and I think we'll all feel better about maybe a case of the midweek blues that you may be suffering from this morning.
You're saying a commercial is going to cure us of the midweek blues?
I think it might. I really do. I'm going to stand behind that. We've also got a round of It Happened in Florida coming up, so we'll hit that for you. I'll share the important information about KFC, the Colonel, and one of the best arguments I've ever seen in a baseball game happened yesterday. And you may not have seen this audio. It wasn't widespread, I don't think, unless you're somebody who's into that sort of thing. So we'll share that, too, as part of the chat coming up next.
The Woody and Wilcox Show.
And now it's time for the Chat Report. Stuff happening around the globe.
Yeah, the G is silent.
On the Woody and Wilcox Show.
I know there are a lot of people listening right now. Well, I shouldn't phrase it that way. I know of the people listening right now. I can't say that there are a lot. You may not be a sports fan at all, let alone a baseball fan. But I want you to bear with me because occasionally, even if you're not a fan of baseball, something will happen in the game that I think even the non-fan can enjoy. And especially when it comes to arguing. That's a thing in baseball that is, I don't know, I feel like the way they handle it is unique. Certainly people argue in every sport, coaches and referees and in this case umpires. But in baseball, it's an art form, and it has been for years. And if you don't follow along, you know, you can get tossed out of a game, but it's still acceptable in some way for a player and especially a coach to still be out on the field and do odd things and argue in fun ways. My guess is if you've lived on the planet for any amount of time, you've seen these sorts of things. You know, they'll turn their hat backwards and get within centimeters of the umpire's nose and turn red and they'll kick dirt on the plate. And,
right.
You know, they'll do all these sort of odd chores out on the field when they're really fuming.
I always remember the late, great Billy Martin. He was a manager for a lot of different clubs, but he was passionate about doing that, like spitting on the umpire with his every word had some sort of spittle flying out.
Yeah, but to me it's the other things that they do. You know, guys will go out, they'll come back, and then they'll go grab a base and just pull it out of the ground and throw it across the field. Stuff like that, it's not that uncommon. Well, yesterday there's what's called the Independent League, so it's kind of like minor league baseball. And a couple of teams are playing, and there's a play at third base, and the player doesn't agree with what the umpire called. It doesn't matter what it was, but he argues and gets tossed, gets thrown out of the game. So then his manager, the coach, comes out, and he starts arguing with the umpire. I'm going to play a little bit of audio for you, and then I'm going to play some secondary audio for you, and then I'll explain what's happening. They sort of cover it here.
And Brennan Metzger's hot. That's a passionate, passionate ball player there in Brennan Metzger. And obviously said a magic word or two to get him tossed out of the game. So Metzger has been ejected here. And now Metzger is not done yet.
He's... So he gets tossed out of the game, goes back into the dugout. Mm. Then all of a sudden he reappears and he's lugging one of the huge sort of 55-gallon trash cans that they, you know, you've seen them anywhere, but they have one in the dugout. Now he's bringing it out onto the field.
He's going to do something here with a garbage can and...
Now, I don't know if you can hear it, but he's set it up right behind home plate. The umpire and the manager are now arguing, and this kid who's been tossed, this dude, comes out with the trash can and then starts pointing and yelling at the umpire, "Go to your home! Go to your home!" Just like in the Billy Madison thing when he's yelling at the
ball.
Happy Gilmore?
Just go home!
Yeah.
That's your home! Are you too good for your home?
Yes, Happy Gilmore, exactly.
Answer me.
So he's yelling at the ump, "Go to your home," and pointing at the trash can.
And Brother Metzger's. Go to your home. Go to your home. And he put the garbage can behind home plate. And the crowd is saying, "We hear you, Brennan." That's a classic place to garbage bucket behind home plate. In a unique way to tell an umpire what he thought of the pitch selection and the call.
So, yeah.
So he thinks he's trash, so he goes and gets a trash can, puts it where he's supposed to be. That's like it's a complete scene. Like, how do you go and get props and then come back out?
That's what I mean. And that's what's so funny to me is that obviously it's done out of anger. But at some point, you have to be... Imagine yourself. There's always... Like, yeah. No matter whether you've ever played sports or not, just being angry about something and you're furious. And then... And then you're going to carry something out. I don't mean physically carry something out, but you're going to carry out a scenario in your head. But at some point during that, you have a moment of clarity where you're like, "I'm going into the dugout now and grabbing a trash can. And now I'm pulling it out onto the field." And you become aware of it. And does it even occur to you how kind of funny it is? Because obviously he's doing it sort of to be funny, but he never cracks a smile and he still looks like he's just incensed. But that takes time. Right. You know, things happen in the heat of the moment in an argument, but he gets tossed. He goes away. He comes back with a trash can. He's telling him to go to his home. I mean, it's a process that plays out, which is so funny to me that you do it without somehow recognizing the insanity of what you're doing.
I have taken the video. It's up on the Woody and Wilcox Facebook page. You can see it now because you're right. It's like a creative writing class come to life.
Right, and you wonder, did he have this? I mean, you got a lot of time on your hands when you play baseball, probably traveling from city to city. Is that a pre-thought-out thing? Like, at some point, if I get tossed from a game, I'm going to bring the trash can out and tell the ump to go to his home? Or is it all spur of the moment? You know what I mean? I feel like I would like to talk to that guy and find out how it comes about.
Watching the video, he's just storming through the dugout and it's almost like he sees the trash can and all the pieces line up.
Maybe
yes,
so.
Trash. Here's trash. Maybe. That's your home. I'm going to go tell
him. Right. So you think it was improvised, and maybe it was, but I also wonder, did he see it? Cause I've never seen that. I mean, I've watched a lot of baseball. I've never seen him do that before.
He's going to do something here with a garbage can and...
Go to your home! Go to your home!
And he put the garbage can behind home plate. And the crowd is saying, "We hear you, Brennan."
We hear you, brother. I love how the announcer's just cracking up at it, too. He's like, "That's a perfect metaphor!"
It's like a game of charades.
Right.
You should try oral.
Well, I don't know if that has anything to do with it. Of course, that is baseball. So I'll tweet that out, too, but I guess Woody has it. Is it up on the Facebook page at this point?
Right now.
If you're following at Woody and Wilcox, I'll send that out.
What I think is happening is the balls are getting wet in the umpire's sack.
Right, that's another great moment in baseball, but different. So let me move along, because I mentioned it a second ago, and we're running out of time because we spent so much time on Go to Your Home. Whether you care or not, KFC has done this thing over the last few years now where they keep changing celebrities who play the Colonel in their commercials. There's a new one. I couldn't even list all the ones who've come so far. But I must say, regardless of what you think of it, and by the way, it's Jason Alexander, who was George in Seinfeld, the best way I can reference him. But the commercial that's out there, let me play a little bit of it for you, and you may struggle with some of the lyrics. But
now when mom and dad drop the ball.
What they've done, let me set it up. Somehow they've decided that the KFC commercial should be done a la an 80s sitcom.
with like a funny jingle, and the commercial is nothing but sort of imagery that you might see in the theme song opening scenes to a sitcom is the only way I can describe it.
Now when mom and dad drop the ball, the colonel is there to answer the call. Your mom now.
I don't know if you can hear it there. The colonel is your mom now. And they show the colonel wearing a dress and an apron, ironing clothes in this 80s sort of sitcom scene.
The colonel's
the colonel
your mom?
Is your mom now. So I'll let it keep going.
The colonel is your mom now. Also, he's your dad and
he's your dad and the mailman Joe and your nosy neighbor. So it's Jason Alexander in his colonel outfit playing all these different characters quickly in the span of a few seconds. Oh. The end of it, though, is the best. Stand by.
No one loves families like KFC. So let the colonel be your whole family and your couch.
No one loves families like KFC. So let the colonel be your whole family and your couch. And the last scene is the family, just like an 80s sitcom, all coming to sit together on a couch. But the whole couch is the colonel. And on both ends of the couch where the arms would be, it's his arms. And in the middle is his head. But the whole couch is his body. And they're all sitting on him.
What?
It is the freakiest, most drug-induced thing I've ever seen as far as a commercial for chicken. You must watch it. I don't know if we've put it up yet, but if we haven't, we'll put that up for you so you can see it. Is that up yet?
Yes.
We'll put that up also on the Facebook page and tweet it out. So let the colonel be your whole family and your couch.
So let the colonel be your whole family and your couch.
It is the freakiest, most unappetizing thing. I mean, you're selling food,
right?
And now everybody's sitting on an old man, sort of, as a couch.
But the arms are freaky.
Yeah, the arms are moving because they have to make a point like, hey, look at this. He's a couch. We don't want you to miss this. And they're sort of sitting on his neck. I don't know how else to describe it. It's freaky.
It does not make me hungry for chicken.
No, but I got to give him an A-plus for effort. So we'll put that up if you haven't seen it yet. We do have a round of it happen in Florida, and we're going to get to that next.
The Woody and Wilcox Show.
So we've got a round of it happen in Florida for you here. And if that doesn't mean anything to you, what it is Woody and I are going to share three stories here real quick. And they're all true stories. This isn't something where we're making stuff up. We're sharing you straight out of the headlines today. But they could have happened anywhere all over the world. And you got to spot the one that happened in Florida because, you know, Florida. 844-4WW-SHOW is the way that you can get through. Woody's got story number one.
Can you think back to your bachelor party? Did anything crazy go on? Did you have a tame bachelor party or one of those wild ones that you still can't talk about even years later?
No, tame.
Tame.
I know that's going to shock you.
That does not shock me one bit. Did you guys have a breath-holding contest at your bachelor party?
A breath-holding contest?
That's what happened in story.
Is that code for something?
It is not. They were swimming in a lake and decided to have a breath-holding contest. Hey! This is a great bachelor party. Let's all go underwater and see who can hold their breath the longest. Woo! We're crazy. We're spending our last night of freedom like this. The reason we know about it is we have an ultimate winner. Sadly, the 23-year-old man is no longer with us after winning the breath-holding contest at a lakeside bachelor party. His buddies were convinced that he had somehow snuck out of the lake and gone back to the cabin. And so they went back there to look for him, and then they came back to the lake, and they're like, hey, there's a body floating right there. Was it in Florida where he was one of 15 dudes taking part in a bachelor party where they were holding a breath-holding contest?
Story number two, you know, we certainly look high and low for all of these ridiculous It Happened in Florida stories. Not really hard to find. And thank you to those of you that send stuff in. But occasionally, you see one that has what you've been looking for, lo these many years. And I quote in story number two, A woman told cops that she returned home yesterday afternoon to find a male intruder just inside her door eating a corn dog.
Is that a euphemism for something?
It is not a euphemism for something. She walked into her home and there was a dude standing there eating a corn dog. Like you do.
Did he break in just for the corn
dog? One corn dog.
Did he cook it himself?
Apparently so. I don't think he was eating it frozen. In a bid to identify the intruder, the officers attempted to get fingerprints from the corn dog container, which was found on the floor, but there were no viable prints. Why? Obviously, because the dude escaped with his corn dog as she opened the door.
Is that it? That's all he took?
Took one corn dog, Chelsea. You make it sound like it's not worth your while to break and enter to get a corn dog. Like the stakes should be higher?
Have you had a corn dog recently?
Right, exactly.
You think he knew or just got distracted?
By the way, they made a point of pointing out that these are State Fair brand.
Those are good.
16-pack of corn dogs, because that was the box that was found on the floor. I didn't even know that was a thing. I mean, I knew you could get corn dogs at the State Fair. I didn't realize there was a brand that you could go buy called State Fair corn dogs.
Yes.
But obviously this guy did, and he broke into a woman's home for one of them. But didn't take them all, which I felt was gentlemanly. They say chivalry is dead. Was it Florida? Woody has the third and final story.
You guys ever shown up to a restaurant and find out that they are closed?
Of course.
You still see the employees inside maybe doing their side work, wrapping stuff up, and you're like, oh, come on! That's what happened to our friend in story number three. However, he went to the KFC and it had been closed for over an hour.
Let the Colonel be your couch.
Exactly. And your mom and your dad. Well, what do you do at that point?
Go somewhere else.
Go somewhere else. Chelsea, this is America. We don't go somewhere else. The 38-year-old man decided to whip out a handgun and demand that the KFC employees reopen the restaurant so that he may enjoy those delicious 11 herbs and spices. When the employees were like, we're not going to do that, one of them was actually outside waiting for a ride home. A struggle ensued, and our friend in story number three left empty-handed. Good news is cops were able to track him down and bring him into custody.
Imagine your level of hunger slash drunkenness when you're willing to brandish a gun to get KFC.
You ever been hangry? You act in an irrational manner.
But go somewhere else.
Go somewhere else. Was it in Florida or was he from Florida? 844-4WW-SHOW. Devon is up first to try and solve our quiz. Devon, what do you think? All three stories actually happened. Which one went down in Florida?
I'm going to say story number three.
Number three. Sort of a technicality. It actually went down in Delaware, but the man is identified as a Florida man being from Orlando. So I'm counting it as a Florida story.
Story number two, where the woman walked inside and found, quote, a man eating a corn dog, end quote. I'm not sure if I'm saying the name of this town right. Myrtle Beach, South Carolina.
You're saying it perfectly. Yes.
Fantastic.
And we are at a bachelor party and they're doing wild and crazy things like having a breath holding contest. You're in Rocky Creek, Georgia.
The Woody and Wilcox Show.
Who's fired up that today is Woody Game Wednesday besides me and the two people on Twitter? Huh? Don't speak up at once. Go talk over one another.
Sounds like just the three of you.
Today, so many great things we could be celebrating today. And I think everybody knows. As you revealed yesterday, I mean, I was a huge Garfield fan back in the day.
Yes, you were.
Today is Odie Day. You know, the dog that's in the Garfield comics. Well, today is his birthday. And so today is Odie Day.
Uh-huh.
Not going to be celebrating that on Woody Game Wednesday. So,
oh, my God. Who the hell cares?
I think a lot of people care about that.
Right, I'm sure they do.
Today is also National Sneak Some Zucchini Onto Your Neighbor's Porch Day.
No, sir.
Okay.
You just made that up.
Yeah. I did not make it up. It was invented by a couple of farmers who had excess vegetables, and instead of letting them go to waste, Chelsea, which I know you hate, they said it's is a great way to get rid of it is to sneak some of those vegetables onto your neighbor's porch.
What you've just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard.
Why would you have to sneak it?
Right.
I mean, people have been offering things to their neighbors for many years.
They may be able to say no if you don't sneak it, and then you're stuck with it.
Nobody wants your used zucchini, is what you're saying?
Right. So I came up with a game, all the words end in eeny. You'd be surprised how many of them are out there.
Heard what you just said. Yeah. I came up with a game, all the words end in eeny.
Yes, since it's National Sneak Some Zucchini Onto Your Porch Day.
Isn't it Cat Day or something as well?
Yes, Chelsea, International Cat Day. Not going to be celebrating either of those holidays. Great American's birthday that we will be celebrating.
I feel like there were like a couple of words missing out of that sentence when you said, I came up with a game, all the words end in eeny. I don't feel like that helps me.
I would have given you a clue, and the answer was always going to be a word that ends in eeny. Like a small woman's bathing suit is a
bikini.
You're saying we're doing that?
We almost did.
Oh, okay. I thought he was saying doing. I thought that was it.
Oh, me too. I thought that.
Okay. Well, thank God.
No, we're not going to be doing that. Celebrating Mel Tillis' birthday today with a brand new game. Wilcox, Mel Tillis.
Country artist. Pam. And, of course, in the movie Cannonball Run.
Yes.
Pam Tillis' dad.
I don't know who Pam Tillis is, so I'm going to say yes. Also known
you're saying we are doing that, or that we're also not doing that, like the Eni game.
No, that's what we're celebrating today. Mel Tillis. What's he famous for besides country singing? Stuttering.
He's a stutterer, right? I did know that.
So we're going to be celebrating the life of Mel Tillis today. Woody Game Wednesday. I know you've been sitting yourself. Wait a second.
I almost feel like the Eni was a better tease now. Once I heard what you're actually doing.
I wish we were doing the Eni game too.
Does that mean that you need to be a Mel Tillis fan to either A, comprehend, or B, enjoy the game?
You do not.
Okay. Well, that's an important fact.
It's an audio quiz having to do with famous people who stutter. We're going to be playing it, and you'll be able to watch it all on Facebook Live. I know you're thinking to yourself, well, by God, I just got rid of my Facebook page. I'm signing back up. I'm going to click on the Woody and Wilcox Facebook page and watch it all go down.
Are you proud of your work?
I am.
Are you proud of your work?
I said I am.
All right.
We're going to kick off Woody Game Wednesday. We're going to do that next.
The Woody and Wilcox Show.
You know what? Celebrating a great American's birthday today, Mr. Mel Tillis. We're going to get into that. But other great American's birthdays today. Happy birthday, Kumo D. Huh? 56 years young for Kumo D.
Already a Mel Tillis and a Kumo D reference this morning on the show.
Did you want me to start with Ricky Rocket from Poison? It's his birthday, too. Happy birthday to Scott Stapp. From Creed. You remember Scott Stapp.
Thank you, Larry. Thank you, Wilcox. I'll see you guys later.
I'm sorry. What did he say? Larry Wilcox. Happy birthday, Larry Wilcox. 71 years young for John from Chips.
I still have a buddy who every time I talk to him says, say hi to Larry. And it's been 8 years since Scott Stapp called Woody Larry. And it still hasn't worn off for him.
I appreciate that about him.
I do too.
But we're going to be celebrating the late, great Mel Tillis' birthday. And here's Mel telling a little story about running into a fan.
But boy, here she comes. And she said, oh, Mel Tillis, Mel Tillis, Mel Tillis. And I said, what is it, what is it, what is it? And she asked me, she said, how come you stutter and you can sing and you stutter? I said, honey, I don't have the time to explain all that to you.
The man could sing like nobody's business, but when he did speak, it was amazing.
I didn't realize what a huge Mel Tillis fan you were.
Dude, I was a huge Mel Tillis fan back in the day.
The man can sing like nobody's business, I believe was your
huge
quote.
Huge hits, yes.
Okay.
So we are going to be celebrating on Woody Game Wednesday at 844-4WW-SHOW if you'd like to get in. Celebrating a man who really confronted his stuttering back in the day, and they made fun of him a lot on Cannonball Run. But it's amazing how many famous people suffer from a stutter. So I'm going to be playing a little audio quiz of famous people who suffer from stutter. This is from stutteringhelp.org. These are people who are like, look, I'm famous. I got over this. I can live with it. And so can you, as a way to help other people who stutter. And it debilitates their life. What was the movie, Chelsea, that they did about that one guy in England who stuttered and then they made him king or something? I don't know. I didn't see it. It won some sort of Oscar.
I think he's making a reference to a movie that we probably are supposed to know, and I don't even know what you're talking about. 844-4WW-SHOW is the way that you can get through. I think either we're having an issue with the phone, or finally, and I don't know why it's taken so long, literally no one was calling to play.
You think that's what it is, Cool Beans? No one wants to do this.
Well, now that I said that, there's one person calling in. But again, it's 844-4WW-SHOW. If you're somebody, and this seems an almost impossible, who's tried to play before and hasn't been able to get in, you get shut out. I never get to play. It looks like today is your lucky day, because until I started saying that, there were zero people on the phone. And then Larry.
You're just making that up.
Larry? Jerry?
I'm Jerry.
All right, Jerry. Can I call you Larry?
Come on, guys. Sure, go for it.
Welcome in, Jerry. How does it feel to be the only person who wants to play Woody Game Wednesday?
It feels really fantastic, I'll tell you that much.
Here's the problem. A lot of other people are calling in now that I pointed it out. So I don't know if that was an issue with the phone or if it was really just people were like, I don't want
to. People just don't want to play. Cool Beans is telling me that.
I love Woody Game Wednesday.
You know what?
Don't encourage
you and two other guys feel the same way, Jerry, so that's fun. All right, grab one there. Who we got?
Joel is on the phone. Joel, good morning.
Hey, good morning.
Joel, welcome in. Say hi to Jerry.
All right. What's up, Jerry?
What's going on, Joel?
All right, now we got it. Okay.
All right, so there's a ton of famous stutterers out there. I've come up with a game that it's just an audio quiz that we're going to be playing. No fancy name this time, because I couldn't come up with anything that really rhymes with stutters. Other than Butters.
Wow.
And so I just decided.
Just gave up.
Yep. I just completely gave up. And we're going to be playing
pathetic
teams. Jerry, you were in first. Who would you like to play on with you on your team? Would you like Wilcox or Chelsea?
Well, last time I chose Chelsea, and you guys gave me a bunch of crap for it. So I'll go with Wilcox.
All right. We'll give you crap for it this time. That's a horrible choice. All right. That means you and Chelsea are together, Joel. And it's going to be name is your buzzer, head to head. Okay. So as soon as you identify the celebrity who has a stutter, you shout out your name. You get it right, you get a point. You get it wrong, your opponent gets a point. Any questions?
I think I get it.
No. All right.
Here we go. Let's name this famous stutterer.
Make it work. Go, go, go. Do it. Go, so. Work, work, work. Make it work.
Chelsea. Tim Gunn.
Tim Gunn suffers from stuttering. Nice job.
Designers? I didn't even recognize his voice.
You didn't recognize his voice from that?
No.
Come on, man.
Make it work. Go, go, go. Do it. Go, so. Work, work, work. Make it work.
That's his famous catchphrase. All right. One for Chelsea and Joel. Nothing for Jerry and Wilcox. Name this famous stutterer.
Enough is enough.
Chelsea.
Let me say Wilcox was in there first.
That's Samuel L. Jackson.
Samuel L. Jackson suffers from a stutterer. As a stutterer. Yes. Nice job.
Here we go, Jerry.
One more.
Oh, yeah.
Here we go. Name this famous stutterer.
His voice. The AFI Life Achievement Award.
Wilcox.
Wilcox.
James Earl Jones.
James Earl Jones is a stutterer. Nice job.
I knew he was. I didn't know Samuel L. Jackson was.
I believe nothing what he says.
Well, he's right about James Earl Jones. That one I know.
All right. Name this famous stutterer.
And you two folks to do was take those cleaning products and clean the inside of the car. I'm talking fast, fast, fast. You need to go in the back seat, scoop up all those little pieces of brain and skull, get it out of there. Wipe down the upholstery. Now, when it comes to upholstery, you don't need to be spick and span. You don't need to eat off it. Just give it a good once over.
I don't know it. I'm out.
From
who's
Paul.
My partner?
No, nothing, Jerry, Joel?
I have no idea.
Harvey Keitel is who we were looking for. He was Mr. Winston Wolfe in Pulp Fiction. All right, next offering. Name this famous stutterer.
The last time I took drugs, I probably took more than anybody.
Wilcox.
Charlie Sheen?
Charlie Sheen is a stutterer.
Come on.
Yeah.
Could survive. You know?
What are we talking about? How much?
I don't know, man. I was banging 7 gram rocks and finishing them because that's how I roll. I have one speed. I have one gear. Go.
Is he still winning?
The Tiger Blood interview?
Yes.
Remember that?
Yes.
That seems like years and years. I guess it was years ago.
Charlie Sheen will always be winning.
Yes, I think you're right.
So I have three. Chelsea has one.
That's correct.
Okay.
Name this famous stutterer.
They grew asparagus and celery and stuff. And
no.
It was just a tarmac runway.
Yeah.
Almost 1,000 feet long, not quite. And the rabbits, you know, they like the celery too. So their place would. So when you're
Wilcox?
Taking
off. Yeah. Wilcox.
It's Jimmy Stewart, right?
Boy, Jimmy Stewart. Yes.
That's right.
Is he officially a stutter?
He is officially a stutter.
I thought that was just sort of a thing that he did.
No. I only had seven of these.
How is it your boy, Jimmy Stewart?
Oh, there he is right there.
Would you have gotten this famous stutterer right here?
This is an excellent shirt, by the way. I've got one of those.
This is your shirt.
That's my shirt.
It is.
Is that Bill Walton?
That's that you should like try oral clip.
Yes, that is Bill Walton, a stutterer. Well, Jerry, looks like this time you actually chose correctly, going with Wilcox. Celebrating the great life of Mel Tillis, a country singer and stutterer, by identifying a ton of people out there who actually suffer from stuttering and have made huge strides in their life.
If nothing else, at least we got to hear that Fez line.
What's up there, fellas? It's your boy, Jimmy Stewart.
And it led to this.
Hey, what's up? It's your boy, Fozzie Bear. Ah, wacka, wacka, banana cream pie.
And this.
Hello, man. This is your boy, George C. Scott. We are going to cut out their living guts and use it to grease the treads of our tanks.
So, well worth it. No question about it.
Right.
The Woody and Wilcox Show.
Well, we just wrapped up a round of Woody Game Wednesday moments ago, and Woody created a game based on the fact that it was Mel Tillis's birthday.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yep.
And Mel Tillis, a stutterer. And so we had to name the stutterer. I know you're kicking yourself now. By the way, thanks to Amy, who rang in on Twitter at Woody and Wilcox. That was the, all caps, most boring Woody Game Wednesday ever. So thank you, Amy, for that. Mm-hmm. Tony, though, has rung in on the Woody and Wilcox Facebook page. Hey, you guys were talking about stutterers who are famous. Remember this guy from America's Got Talent? And she had sent in this clip of comedian Drew Lynch. Tony, not only do we remember him, he was on the show a couple of years ago. He was on America's Got Talent, and he was a stand-up comic who stuttered.
Would a woodchuck,
that's just him doing some sort of YouTube video. That wasn't his act.
No.
Because by the way, if that had gotten him into second place, which is where he finished on America's Got Talent, that would have been pretty amazing. But his story was weird, and I don't even remember all of it, but I remember he had suffered an injury of some sort.
Right. He moved out to L.A. to become an actor and was playing in a softball game and got hit in the head with a softball.
That's right.
And that caused an injury, which developed him into the stutter that you hear right there. And it's fascinating because did he write a book or he did something where the title of it is Did I Stutter? And what he basically said was, you know, he's confronting everything head on. And the saddest part was, I remember him talking about, he's like, the person that I was when I moved out to L.A. before the accident would never hang out with the person I am today.
I do remember that. Like, he said he was a really sort of a, I don't know what the word is.
A-hole?
Okay, that's the way to boil it down.
I think he was just kind of like, yeah.
And so his life has totally changed around. So, I mean, it was a inspirational and a strange. I mean, I think that's unusual. I think most people who, for example, most people who stutter, I don't think it's usually the result of some sort of traumatic injury. But here's a guy who's somehow found a way to turn that around. He, I don't know. I guess he still tours. I don't know the full. I don't know the full details. But he did finish second on America's Got Talent. Now he does. He's always on YouTube doing videos and stuff. You can check out DrewLynch.com. I'm glad you brought that up, Tony, because I'd forgotten about Drew, And that's an interesting point. And one, obviously, that Woody chose not to use on his stuttering game that Amy pointed out was the most boring ever.
How dare you,
You'll Amy. Be able to find it on the podcast, though. So there is that. Look for the Woody and Wilcox channel of iHeartRadio. And also, Cool Beans is back there frantically sending audio out via Twitter. So that's another way to listen to the show. If you miss stuff, you can follow along at Woody and Wilcox and then really beat yourself over the head with it.
How would you like to have free Dairy Queen blizzards for an entire year?
Yes.
Would you, Chelsea?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think out of everybody on the show, you're most likely to actually earn this because Dairy Queen needs your help.
Okay.
And it's your special powers that you have, better than Wilcox and myself, that it would allow you to win and earn this Dairy Queen blizzards free for an entire year. I have the opportunity for you to maybe beat Chelsea to this. I'll give you all the details and how you can do it. We'll do that next. I speak good.
The Woody and Wilcox Show.
If you're new to the show, we all have special powers here on the Woody and Wilcox Show.
We all have special powers.
Yeah. Chelsea has talked about her special power. Chelsea, what's your special power?
Power?
Yes. What can you do better than anybody else here on the show?
I think Woody has an answer, and he's trying to get you to come up with it. Am I right?
Is this about my strongest sense?
Yes, Chelsea.
My strongest sense is my sense of smell.
She's the best smeller on the show.
Right.
Wilcox, what's your special talent?
For $5, you can smell it.
Thank you, Chelsea. Do I have a special talent?
No, you don't.
Okay, good.
Neither do I.
I was like, I don't know what it is.
I bring it up because there is a Dairy Queen that is looking for people like you, Chelsea. Okay. They're looking for somebody to sniff out an odor problem that they're having at one of their locations. Specifically, this is in Canada, so you're going to have to do a little bit of a road trip, but it might be worth it because if you can identify the smell of a gas leak that people smell in this particular Dairy Queen, you get free blizzards for a year.
If you can identify the smell of a gas leak,
now,
what does that mean?
Well, there's an odor problem that they say smells like gas. They've had the gas company out. You know how they have those electronic sniffer equipment when they can detect a leak and things like that?
Yeah.
They can't find anything. Same with the fire department that they've had out there. And yet the owner of this particular establishment says it smells like a mixture of propane and farts.
Used to be the name of our show, by the way.
Good morning, propane.
Hey, how you doing, farts?
Oh, what a weekend I had.
So they've tested the restaurant, tested all the pipes for leaks, and they can't find anything. However, for the last 2.5 years, people, some of them coming in, have complained of the odor. The owner says it's bothering so much that I can smell it everywhere, even when I'm home. We are really desperate.
I feel like the owner just revealed what the issue is.
Thank you.
It's got to be the owner.
Who smelt it and dealt it?
Right?
Could just be in his head or getting on his clothes. I ripped one at a terrible time.
It could be that too. You're right, Chelsea. Why not? Maybe somebody ripped one at a terrible time.
They are appealing for the public's help, specifically people who have an enhanced sense of smell, to locate the source of said smell. And as a reward, you get blizzards for a year for free.
Stinky.
Right?
Wouldn't a dog be the next choice?
Well, dogs do like blizzards, Chelsea.
Well, and their sense of smell is better than humans.
Yeah, but it's hard to explain to a dog this is what we're looking for as far as a smell. Since they can't find the source of the smell, they can't say to the dog, like, look, find this. They're just asking for people. And by the way, half of the restaurant's staff is divided. Some can smell it, others can't. Some customers can smell it, and others can't. It's forced some customers to leave the restaurant early, saying we just can't handle it anymore.
Maybe they should try this.
Just tie me up. I'm going to take a whiff, and then we're done.
Sounds like that might work.
Quote, we are really, really hoping somebody can come up with a solution for us and find the location of the odor.
First of all, it's hairy.
So it sounds like, they really want people to come and smell?
Yes. If it means finding the source of the odor and then obviously eliminating it, you don't have to do the elimination part.
But if it's all over the restaurant, how are you going to find the source? It's been there for years. The whole restaurant smells like it.
That's the point.
So, well,
that's why they're looking for somebody to
really dial it in. Yeah.
The Croatian would eat the whole thing.
All right, Jess.
Whoa. Settle down.
Where are they?
Calgary, Canada. Yeah.
I don't think I know Canadian smells very well.
I'm sorry, they're Canadian smells.
Cool beans, I think we're going to need it.
Canadian American James is offended that you said that.
Why is back he offended? Door. Back door.
I don't think there are Canadian smells.
Oh, I bet there are.
Really?
Don't know that this is one of them necessarily. Who knows?
What's a Canadian smell?
I don't know.
Hockey? Poutine? These are all things that we can all smell as humans, no matter where we're from.
Well, as much as I love a blizzard and a road trip, I don't think I'm going to be able to complete this mission. So, thank you, though.
It's a niche, but there's somebody out there, I'm sure, who's like already firing up the car.
Pointing it north. We're going to Calgary. It's going to be worth it for blizzards for a year. All I got to do is smell some dude's odor and find the source of it. I'm with Wilcox on this one. If the owner is still smelling it at home, I think we've found the source.
The Woody and Wilcox Show.
I want to go back and address something that we were talking about a second ago, and if you missed it, we'll fill you in. And then something that sort of is tied into it. Woody was saying that if you're interested in getting free blizzards for a year at Dairy Queen, there's a specific Dairy Queen in Calgary, Canada, that has a smell that they can't identify. And they want somebody to come and identify the smell. And if you can do it accurately, they're going to award you a year's worth of blizzards. And so in discussing that a second ago, the question came up, what is a Canadian smell? Now, I think we all agreed this smell may or may not be something unique to Canada. Mm. But I will say our buddy, Canadian American James, who is also the archivist of the Woody and Wilcox Show. Is that the right word?
Historian.
So. Archivist. I'm not sure how you say it. He rings in and would know, obviously. He says Canadian smells is a faint tinge of beaver and the queen. Which
beaver?
Also, by the way.
No, beaver. The
beaver, oh. The animal with the teeth and the tail. Yeah, I don't know if you remember, that was one of those buddy cop shows in the 70s.
Beaver and the Queen?
Beaver and the Queen. That was really great. I think Ben Vereen was in that.
I think you...
And thanks to Holden, who rang in on the Woody and Wilcox Facebook page. Guys, a Canadian smell is maple syrup and moose poo. Okay. You know what? I like the idea that everybody's ringing in on Canadian smells. Now, side note, I don't know that we're ever going to get to the bottom of that. So take the information, maybe take your trip to Calgary, win your blizzards, and come back and let us know how it went. But with Canadians in mind, Seth Rogen last night was on Jimmy Fallon's TV show. Mm. And I don't know if you knew this. I find this fascinating. Maybe it's just me. Seth Rogen is the voice of Vancouver and I want to say Toronto of their public transit system. You know how sometimes anywhere where you get on a bus or a subway and there's an automated voice that comes on and tells you, whatever, move away from the doors or don't do this or do that.
Train arriving in 6 minutes.
Seth Rogen is that voice on the subway system in Vancouver and Toronto. Yes, that's Seth Rogen. Exactly.
That's all I can do. I'm sorry.
That wasn't too bad, by the way. Do you know why, by the way? Apparently Morgan Freeman was the voice, and then when the sex stuff came up, they yanked him, pardon the expression.
Oh.
And Seth Rogen took over, at least that's what I had read. Speaking of your impression, remember when Jonathan Kite did the Seth Rogen?
I'm originally from Canada, and oh my God, I am so high right now.
Man, that was good.
So good.
So anyway, Seth Rogen was on Jimmy Fallon last night. And was telling a story about some of the stuff that he has to say as the voice of their transit system.
I'll give announcements to help keep... I take public transportation, as I'm sure a lot of New Yorkers do. And people do appalling things on there. Because they gave me the list. They're like, this is the stuff that people complain about the most. And one was people clipping their nails, toenails, on subways. And I recorded a message to stop this behavior. enough people do this that it requires a message? And they were like, yes.
What?
100% yes. It's not the place. And there's also, yeah, it's a horrifying thing. So if I stop one person from doing that, it was worth the time and energy it took.
So they take all the complaints that people have on Canadian mass transit, and then Seth Rogen has to voice, you know, hey, don't do that. And apparently enough people are clipping their nails on the Canadian subway that Seth Rogen has been required to record a message on the trains that say, please refrain from clipping your toenails on the subway today in beautiful Canada, eh? I'm getting gross to hear the whole bit. I don't know how many other things of a troubling nature.
You ever see somebody clipping their toenails in public?
I feel like I have, but I haven't made a
note.
I bet
you have, and you've blocked it out of your mind, because it's one of those things hopefully you've clipped your toenails before, but you know that there is a radius, a shrapnel radius, right? That's why that's so gross, is because when you clip those bad boys off, it becomes this invisible shrapnel that goes flying through the air and could land in your drink, could land on your person, and you're like...
In your drink.
Yeah, you're having a little coffee on you, you're riding the train, or you're in public, and that thing goes click right into the drink.
Well, that's certainly one reason. I don't feel like that's the only reason. You say that's the reason, but that's one of the reasons. It's just, you know, anybody taking their shoes and socks off on the train or on a plane,
a lot
or
of
on
work,
a bus, and then, you know, just that alone is often a problem.
Yes.
Before you get to the toenail cut.
Right, before you even get to the clipping part. But you know what? On the spectrum of things that you see somebody doing in public, probably fairly low on the list. Because I'm sure if we opened up, if we said, hey, you know, 8444-WW-SHOW, I don't know, grossest thing you've seen
most disturbing
somebody do.
Can we just inappropriate?
Can we not have any dropping anchor in public stories? That's just
let's right. Right. Well, you, because yes, you know that happens, and I bet he had to voice something like that.
No,
no anchor dropping on the subway. Well, you never know. I don't know. I'm just spitballing.
Most of us have seen some kind of sex act as well in public, or participated ourselves. I feel like. What he saw, two people holding up a bus sign or something.
Well, no, that was what I told my children when they we saw two people who don't have homes making love against a bus bench. Like, what are they doing? They're holding it up.
What do you think is out there beyond that? Beyond the dropping anchor and the sex and the clipping toenail?
All right, I'm all for it. What's the grossest / oddest / most inappropriate thing you've seen? But we're going to rule out dropping anchor.
Mm-hmm.
And then we'll make a call from there. Because I promise you there's weirder stuff than... I do think it's odd that Seth was required to, you know, tell people not to clip their toenails on the subway, because you still wouldn't think that it was such a problem.
Especially in Canada.
Especially in Canada, you think? Why?
Yeah.
Because it's cold?
Because it's cold, so there's a lot of work to get down to the toenails. And also, I just feel like, you know, they have more sense than, you know, most people.
Really? Wow. That's a lot of love you're giving to Canada right there.
You ever try to take off big, heavy boots? It's a lot of work.
844-4WW-SHOW is the way that you can get through. We'd love to hear the inappropriateness that you've witnessed.
Woody and Wilcox. The Woody and Wilcox Show.
Seth Rogen, the actor, as opposed to Seth Rogen, the dentist, is the voice of mass transit in Canada. And, you know, he's the voice that you hear on the subway in Toronto and Vancouver. And he was on Fallon's show last night and talked about how they asked him to record a message that asked people not to clip their toenails on the subway. You wouldn't think, and Seth obviously didn't think either, that that would be something that happens enough to warrant him having to actually record a message that runs on some sort of loop within the Canadian subway system. But apparently people clipping their toenails... is rampant, at least enough that he had to record that. By the way, Chelsea, you mentioned that you thought, well, that's strange, because then everybody has to take off their boots and their woolen socks.
Yep.
Jonathan was quick to point out on Facebook, it doesn't snow year-round in Canada, Chelsea.
I know that, but
it gets into the 80s and 90s during the summer.
Right, but how long does that last?
You don't think they take their boots off for it? It happens so quickly.
I do. I know that it's not.
Stand by, because what it's led us to is what's the strangest or grossest thing you've seen in public, i.e. someone clipping their nails on mass transit. I feel like that's going to pale in comparison to most of the things that we're going to get.
Mm-hmm.
Laura has something for us. Hey, Laura.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
It's going great. What's your story?
So when I was in college, I would work till 4 a.m. or so and then go out to the Waffle House or wherever and, you know, have some early breakfast, late dinner, whatever.
Right.
And I was sitting there and looking across the restaurant, and there was a couple sitting on the same side, which I'm always against anyway. But the wife had her husband's shirt pulled up over, like, up to his neck, and she was taking her sweet time perusing his back for pimples and then popping them at the table. Yeah, yeah.
No.
You know, it kind of makes the grease on the plate a little less appetizing when you're seeing that.
Thing. Did no one say something to them?
You don't say anything to anybody at a Waffle House at that
no,
hour, Chelsea.
It's really for the best.
Remember, yeah. I got asked to leave a Waffle House because I had on no shoes.
Mm.
So they won't so must wear shoes.
How bad are your feet?
Right? Were you clipping your nails?
Gross.
Clearly you hadn't clipped your toenails on the subway.
No, but you can pop pimples at a table, but you can't just, you know, go in, no shoes, and ask for some hash browns.
Again,
come on.
Don't you need to reassess right. yourself, Chelsea, on that
They
one?
Didn't inspect my feet first and no. then make their decision.
No, they didn't have to.
Smell them from across
right.
the room.
Exactly.
Ugh. Wow.
Yeah, I think we were the only two people in the two couples in the restaurant, but it was memorable. I mean, it's been 20 years, and I still shudder at the thought.
Clearly memorable.
You think she was just getting more creamer for her coffee?
Okay.
All right.
No.
Oh, God. God, I hope not.
Laura, I'd like to say thank you.
yeah, anytime. Love to share.
Thank you.
Thank you, Laura. 844-4WW-SHOW. I'm just disgusting.
I may not be able to eat waffles now.
I doubt it. Right? Come on.
That time somebody in public, you're like, that's the most wrong thing.
Now, we did say that we were going to omit public anchor dropping.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. Just because. I mean... That's you know, we've all heard it, right? And
I think we've
covered that on our own show.
Well, like Laura's story, that's out of the ordinary.
Something different.
However, we didn't rule out the number one, so Sebastian was quick with this one. I was in Vegas last year and watched a man urinate in the middle of a busy intersection. He got about halfway across the street, I'm quoting, pulled that bad boy out and started garden hosing in all directions. Best part is that we were at the light waiting to go, and I was in the car with my boss and his wife.
Ooh.
So right at that point, right, Sebastian, then you're like, do we talk about the elephant in the room, or do we just watch a guy urinate in the middle of an intersection
and then go about our business?
I'm sorry, not urinate, garden hosing. I don't know that I've heard garden hose used as a verb.
Nope.
So I appreciate that, if nothing else. Thank you, Sebastian.
Derek on the Woody and Wilcox Twitter feed. Don't forget, Florida has women shaving their legs in pools.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. That wasn't that long ago. We had that video that went viral of the lady who was like, well, watch the kids swim. Might as well shave these pins.
I don't feel like that rivals the urination.
In a public pool?
I guess I'd have to see her. I think she was next
That's on
to
a case
it.
By case basis, I feel
she
like.
She had her
sadly.
Feet in the water, Chelsea.
Call me shallow, but I feel like I need to know exactly what we're talking about. Got this one on Twitter. Watched a woman at the mall in the food court in Raleigh change her baby's dirty diaper on the food court table right across from me. Tough situation, right? We've all been there with kids and diapers, but not on the table at the food court. We have any number of options, including floor at the food court.
Correct.
Which is still not great if people are eating, but not on the table.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't want to come off all high and mighty, but
look at Wilcox
even
over
me,
there.
Even
here
I know.
Here comes Wilcox, clip-clopping in.
Even I know. So 844-4WW-SHOW, the way that you can get through. Your strangest, your grossest, the oddly inappropriate thing that you've witnessed in public.
The Woody and Wilcox Show.
We were talking earlier about Seth Rogen if you didn't know, he is the official voice of the Canadian mass transit system, or at least part of it, in Vancouver and Toronto. He's the voice that you hear on their subway system. And he was on Fallon's show last night, and he was saying it was crazy because they, you know, he has to read all these different things, and they record it and play it back on the trains. And he had to record a message that said, please don't clip your toenails on the train. And he was surprised, obviously, because you wouldn't think enough people are doing that to warrant him having to record something that was going to then be played on a loop telling people not to clip their toenails on the subway. But apparently it is a large number of people. And so we're taking your stories on the strangest, the most gross thing that you've seen. Now, there are rules. No anchor dropping stories. Yeah, we've ruled that out. Too easy.
844-4WW-SHOW. Let's talk to Andrew. Andrew, what's your story, man?
I've got two stories for you. They're pretty quick, though.
Okay.
First one, I've seen a woman clipping her toenails in a Starbucks. Kind of gross. Second story, I promise you, is 100% true. A friend of mine, and I've seen him do it, pops his own temples in public and eats them.
All right. Why?
I do not know. I've asked him, and he just said he likes it. It's disgusting, I know, but that's what he does.
You need to not be friends with somebody like that.
I agree.
I've debated that myself.
Now's the time to make the stand. 844-4WW-SHOW is the way you can get through on the phones. Carrie sends me an instant message on Facebook and says, this may not apply to everybody, but it always grosses me out. Riding the bus into work, and a woman across from me reaches into her purse, whips out a tube of toothpaste and her toothbrush, fires that bad boy up, and just starts brushing her teeth right in public. I immediately begin thinking, where's she going to spit out all the toothpaste and the foam? Nope. Gulp. Swallows it. I gagged in my seat when she did it.
What's wrong with swallowing it?
Cool beans. Cool beans. Cool beans.
Cool beans.
Cool beans.
I mean that all the time, but when you have to.
Cool beans. Cool beans. We're going to need that. All of that.
What's...
It's not going to kill you.
Here's the way... No, but here's where... Think how desperate she must have been to brush her teeth that she was willing to not only do it in public.
Right.
But then swallow the aftermath. That's a somehow toothbrushing 911 situation. Yeah. I can't imagine what led to it.
Sometimes you just want clean teeth.
Chuck Diapers on Twitter at Woody and Wilcox. Didn't Wilcox watch a guy or a kid or something lick the syrup jar at a restaurant? No, not quite. I witnessed a kid lick all the ketchup bottles, you know, when they have the actual glass bottle of ketchup on the table. There was a kid like just firing his tongue into the top of all those bottles.
844-4WW-SHOW. Let's talk to Les, who's got something for us. Les, you're on with Woody and Wilcox.
So I'm from Toronto, and the Seth Rogen toenail clipping recording is definitely necessary there. For some reason, people do it. It's weird. The TTC, which is the Toronto Transit Commission, is a fun system to be on after a certain time. We, in fact, after the subway shuts down, it's called the Red Rocket, the Toronto Transit System.
Oh.
And after the subway shut down at like 2 in the morning, which is exactly when the bars shut down, the bus that takes over is appropriately called the Vomit Comet. So you can imagine what happens on the Vomit Comet late at night.
And why people are vomiting because everybody's cutting their toenails.
Is that what it is?
Exactly. Exactly. Pretty awesome. I love Toronto.
And the faint smell of Beaver and the Queen.
That's right. Beaver and flapjacks, even. You know, will sometimes waft through the air at the popular one.
So, Les, what's the grossest thing that you've probably seen on there?
I mean, the throwing up is pretty nasty. I'm not going to lie. That's up there.
Technically, I don't feel like it's voluntary.
Correct.
And so cutting your nails, clearly, I don't, you know, unless I don't see the guy holding the gun to your head,
it's cutting your nails is voluntary, whereas the vomiting, you know, you probably are not intentionally, you know, seeking out the Toronto subway, the Red Rocket, you right. know, to vomit. It just happened.
That's right.
So,
yes.
But, you know, good. I appreciate the call either way.
Sure. No, awesome. Love you guys.
Thank you, Les. 844-4WW-SHOW, the Red Rocket. The horrible nickname, by the
awful.
Way.
Awful. Do they know what that means?
They're Canadian. Of course they don't know what it means, Chelsea.
How dare you. Chris, stand by, because I do want to get your story. Chris is waiting at 844-4WW-SHOW. We want to hear yours. Also, I've got a couple from the Fez line, our voicemail that we need to run back for you, too. 704-FEZ-3200 is the way you can get through the voicemail. Chris, we're coming to you.
The Woody and Wilcox Show.
So we got onto the topic of the strangest, most inappropriate and or gross thing you've seen in public. We have eliminated the idea of dropping anchor. So if that was going to be your story, we're not taking it. It started with Seth Rogen, who is the voice of the mass transit system in Canada. He was on Fallon's show last night and was saying that they had him record a thing for the subway that said, please do not clip your toenails on the subway. And he, I think, as all of us would, thought, so that's a big enough problem that I actually need to record a specific thing for that? Here was Seth from Fallon's show last night.
I'll give announcements to help keep, I take public transportation, as I'm sure a lot of New Yorkers do. And people do appalling things on there. They're, 'cause they gave me the list. They're like, this is the stuff that people complain about the most. And one was people clipping their nails, toenails, on subways. And I recorded a message to stop this behavior. Enough people do this that it requires a message? And they were like, yes!
What?
100% yes. It's not the place. That and is- there's also, yeah, it's a horrifying thing. So if I stop one person from doing that, it was worth the time and energy it took.
844-4WW-SHOW is the way that you can get through.
A lot of nail-related stuff. Chris, you're on with Woody and Wilcox. What's up?
I was in Kodiak, Alaska on a hunting trip, and my buddy and I were sitting at a restaurant, a small breakfast restaurant, and we're waiting for our food to come out, and I look across the restaurant, a small place, and there's a guy over there scraping the underside of his fingernails with his fork, and he has not eaten yet. His food has not come out.
Oh.
These were not disposable forks.
Mm-hmm. Right. That's, well, you know what?
Just seasoning.
That's Alaska.
Right.
And I was like, is the guy a fisherman? Is he getting fish guts out from underneath his fingernails? Or what? Who knows?
Right.
That's kind of big to get up underneath your nail.
We probably want that, Cool Beans. Speaking of Alaska, Woody, didn't you witness a rat scurry across the floor at an Alaskan restaurant?
Yes.
I mean, you don't have to name names, but I know you've told that story before.
Yeah, we were upstairs at Gwenny's.
Okay, you can name names then.
And, there was they called him the mayor, went running across the floor.
He had a name?
What do you say they called him the mayor? I don't think that's accurate.
Well, when we brought it to the attention of our waiter, he's like, oh, that's just the mayor.
No.
Yes. Yes, he's like, it happens.
Everything's bigger in Alaska, right?
Right.
You got to have a sense of humor about it, I suppose.
Chris, we appreciate the call, man. 844-4WW-SHOW is how you can get through on the phones.
Of course, you can always leave a message if that's easier for you. The Fez line at 704-FEZ-3200.
Hey, guys. So I just wanted to touch on the nastiest things you kind of seen in public. So about a couple months back, me and my wife went to the Red Lobster. So we're sitting there in the waiting room, and there's this boy, he's maybe about 14, 15 years old, give or take. Well, as I'm sitting there waiting, all of a sudden we see him sticking his hands in the lobster tank and all this. Well, I look down, talking to my wife, and look back up, and I see this boy has his hands down deep, just digging in the old gonads. I mean, just digging away like he's digging for some gold. And all of a sudden, he just pulls it out and just takes up big old whiff of it.
No.
Like in a field. I then lost it and started gagging, laughing. My wife politely asked me to excuse myself. Other people saw this, started freaking out. It's an image I can't get out of my head. Love the show.
Fez line.
I think that's the first gonad reference.
All right.
704-FEZ. That's 704-FEZ, F-E-Z, 3200. The strange thing that you've witnessed in public. And, of course, love to talk to you in person at 844-4-WW-SHOW.
The Woody and Wilcox Show.
Well, if you're just joining us, I don't know if this is good or bad. We're probably going to put this topic to bed, but we talked about Seth Rogen, who is the voice of the subway system in Toronto and Vancouver, and thought it was weird. He was on Fallon's show last night and was talking about how he thought it was strange that they wanted him to record a message that was going to run on the subway that said, please don't cut your toenails while riding the subway system. And obviously, I think most of us would say, really, is it happening that much that I need to record a, you know, a do not do this message that's going to run on a loop? And apparently the answer was yes, it's happening that much. So we're taking your stories on, I guess what we're calling the grossest thing that you've seen. And you can get through, first of all, we've ruled out dropping anchor, so right. Save those stories. But we've you can get in on the phones at 844-4-WW-SHOW. You can get your voice heard on our voicemail, the Fez line, at 704-FEZ-3200, like this guy did.
One of the grossest things I've ever seen in public was a woman in front of me in line at Arby's with both hands elbow deep in her sweatpants, vigorously clawing her bikini zone. Unfortunately, she decided to strike up a conversation with me and shared that she was walking in some tall grass and had been bitten by some chiggers, which is bad enough, but then she decided to prove that by pulling her sweatpants down to show me her chigger-bitten front butt.
What?
So, needless to say, after my experience with Ippy McChiggerson, I suddenly had no hankering for a roast beef sandwich. Thanks, guys. Great show.
Front butt and back butt.
Trasero de enfrente, trasero de atrás. Right.
Yes, cooch.
Right. No.
That's a cooch.
Yes.
Cooch.
All right.
Cooch.
I don't know.
Cooch.
Really?
Cooch.
All right.
Cooch.
I mean, maybe it was in Pittsburgh. I don't know.
They love their cooch here in Pittsburgh.
All right. 844-4-WW-SHOW is how you can get through. Barbara, what do you got for us?
Well, I was just calling to say, as a little bit of a follow-up on the person that called in about watching someone change their baby's diaper on the table, I had a similar situation, but it went a step further. I watched a lady change her baby's diaper. She folded the diaper, left it on the table, and then proceeded to use wipes.
Mm-hmm.
And just left the wipes loose. That was bad enough. But then I watched the waitress come over, bust the table, have to pick everything up and put it on the tray, wipe the table, move to the next table.
Oh, no.
Bust that table and use the same rag to wipe the next table. Yep. That's the last time I ate at that restaurant.
That's probably a solid decision. Why? Barbara.
844-4-WW-SHOW. We may extend a bit, but we are going to do this. We've got a round of It Happened in Florida coming up here in a second, so stand by for that.
The Woody and Wilcox Show.
It Happened in Florida time. Three stories. Woody and I are going to share them real quick. They're all true. But one of them happened in Florida, and that's the trick. You got to solve which one is the Florida story. It's that simple. 844-4-WW-SHOW is the way to get in, and Woody will kick us off with story number one.
And to look at the calendar after I read story number one and make sure that everything was okay. Is it early 1980s right now? It's not, right?
No.
Because the police in story number one are asking for the public's help, and somebody who defaced a home in this particular neighborhood with some graffiti. Now, the graffiti that was spray painted on the garage door was "Yuppies Go Home." Well, Cox, you remember yuppies back in the day in the early 80s? I always think of Alex P. Keaton as being the yuppie from Family Ties.
Okay.
A young urban professional, Chelsea. That was a yuppie.
People have used that term in recent history.
Have they? Woody. Really?
Yes.
I'm not going to agree with you. They have not. But I found it fascinating that somebody felt the fact that, boy, my neighbor is a yuppie, and I'm going to show them. I'm going to say, yuppies go home and spray paint on their garage door. That'll really show them. was it in Florida where somebody is upset with a young urban professional?
I mean, that's it? The neighbor wasn't doing something to him?
Correct. This is the first time it's happened, said the homeowner. We've contacted the police. We're working on the investigation. We have no idea why they would target us like this. It's disheartening.
Chelsea, I'm going to ask you because I feel like you're maybe slightly more romantic than Woody.
How dare you?
When you think of romantic locales, what comes to your mind?
Secluded beach.
Secluded beach. Okay. Give me another one.
Waffle House.
You're getting really close. I'm only asking Chelsea. Whoa.
Wooded area.
Wooded area. Whoa. It's very secluded and wooded.
You said Waffle House is close. A different waffle place.
I'm looking for the Walmart parking lot. Surprised you didn't get that. Walmart parking lot is considered one of the more romantic spots. That's why the couple in story number two was busted. This was last Saturday night at about 9 o'clock in the evening. When they were in the Walmart parking lot in their van.
Okay.
And that van was a rockin'. You do not come a knockin'. You know what I'm saying? Who's with me on that, right?
Woo! Yeah. Please clap.
Right. Yeah. Huh?
Walmart doesn't allow that?
I'm sorry? I can't hear you over the sexy time music.
Walmart does not allow that?
Oh, I'm sorry. Well, no, under certain circumstances, that is correct. I think they frown upon it no matter what, but, you know, if you're somewhat,
boisterous,
discreet, I would think you'd be okay. But in story number two, it was too obvious what was happening and it was visible from the outside.
Visible?
Yes, visible, Chelsea. What clothing do you mean? Was removed and they were, you know, there are windows even in your darkest and dankest of vans, and people could see as they were walking by what was happening. It was interesting, though, because the couple is married.
What's wrong with that?
Well, nothing's wrong with it. But when you think about van sex at the Walmart parking lot, I'm going to say 9 times out of 10, not a married couple. I'm just going to throw that out there for you.
I'm going to say you just met in line at the Walmart.
Well, here's what's even more interesting. She has a restraining order against him.
Now that is interesting.
And they're married.
It happens.
Right.
Violating that, though, there in the Walmart parking lot.
Mm. By the way, they were both arrested for indecent exposure. So ooh. That's why it's frowned upon in the Walmart parking lot, Chelsea. Mm. So if you had, you know, your Saturday night planned, you may want to rethink it at this point. My question is it Florida where this couple had a few interesting scenarios playing out in one of the most erotic spots on the planet, the Walmart parking lot? Woody's got the third and final.
Third and final story has to do with the police department in this particular area thanking some local cows for helping them apprehend a criminal. Now, there was a high-speed chase, and the car crashed, and the driver of the car fled into a pasture where several cows helped corral this particular criminal. Check out the footage from the police helicopter.
Okay, driver's bailing. Still got a passenger in the vehicle.
You can see this video on our Facebook page right now.
South and east of you. Actually, the large group of cows is following her for a good visual. Looks like they may attack her.
Well, it's your alert. I'm going to give you my flashlight. You can tell me where to go from here.
Keep going southeast. She's pretty far into the field now. If you see the large group of cows, they're literally following her and chasing her.
As the woman was trying to get away and ducking and hiding and laying down low in the bushes, the cows kept running up to her, giving away her position. They eventually pinned the woman up against a barbed wire fence, and that allowed the police to catch up to her. The cow constables being credited with corralling the criminal.
Stop it with the alliteration. What are you, a TV news reporter?
Just waiting for the bad puns.
Walter Cronkite over
sure,
here.
Sure, it was a moving experience for the woman.
Get out.
She was trying to hoof it out of there, only to be busted by the bovines. Hope she doesn't hold any beeves against the cows.
What are you doing?
Was it in Florida where the cows are the cops? Doug is up first to try and solve our quiz.
Turn in your key card.
I'm going to go with story number three.
You're going to go with story number three, and that is the one. Nice job. Check out the video right now on the Woody and Wilcox Facebook page of the cows chasing this woman down. It did go down in Sanford, Florida.
Sadly, if you were looking for a couple having relations in a van in a Walmart parking lot and you were already booking your ticket to Mankato, Minnesota, you're going to want to call that off. It's already happened.
Was there video of that one?
They've been arrested. I thought there was video. No, we don't have video, but we do have audio. They did talk to her after they busted her. And she said this.
We'll probably sit around and cook some soups and eat bread and desserts and just get all fat and sassy.
You're really getting sloppy
with
that.
I asked you politely to take a few plays off of that.
That's you turning your key card right.
Alliteration pun machine.
At least it was
you
creative.
You are the last one to talk.
It was obvious and not fun.
And in Portland, Oregon, if you're a yuppie, be careful. There's a guy out there with a spray paint can who wants to tell you yuppies go home.
It kind of looks like a fat worm.
The Woody and Wilcox Show.
Well, we just wrapped up a round of It Happened in Florida, and Woody nearly was fired on the spot for his incessant puns and alliteration.
How dare you?
During one of his stories. And then I was jumped on for playing one of the greatest clips of all time, the fat and sassy lady. Well, your mom sounds different, Woody, but she called in on the Fez line.
All right, Woody. Well done. I was laughing pretty dang hard with your cow story description. It was fantastic. I was just winding down on the laughter when Wilcox threw up that extremely telegraphed audio of the fat and sassy lady, and instantly all mirth disappeared. Well done, Wilcox. Just kidding.
I only give you points for using the term mirth. Other than that, I detest your telephone call.
Wilcox is a comedy killer.
704-FEZ-3200 is the way that you can get your voice heard. And we kind of put it to bed, although I feel like we ought to go back a little bit. We were talking about the grossest thing you've seen in public.
Mm-hmm.
We did rule out anybody calling in about dropping anchor, but we got this on our voicemail.
Good morning. I own a small retail store in Southeast Charlotte. And the front of the building is a lot of windows. It's in a small shopping plaza. There was a minivan parked in front of our store, and a young boy, about 9 years old, walking around the car, messing with his dog on a leash. And all of a sudden, he put his back towards our store, faced the store across from us, dropped trow, and whizzed in our parking lot. I about had a canary because he obviously didn't think anybody was watching him. When I approached his mother, who was in the store next to me, I said, "Do you realize that your son just whizzed in the parking lot?" And she looked at me like I was the one that had the problem. Yeah. Love the show. Have a great day. Bye.
Now, small children whizzing in weird places, not the worst possible thing, but I do award you points for nearly having a canary. Which I got to imagine, first time I've heard that. Anybody else have a canary?
I've heard that.
You have heard that.
It's like having a kitten.
I haven't heard that either.
Mm-hmm.
These are a lot of things that I haven't heard about to animals being kitten? Birthed.
Yeah, or to have a canary. Maybe it's a southern thing? I don't know.
I just looked it up. Wow.
Like, have a cow, have a kitten.
Well, I think I get it from context. I don't know that you needed to look it up. I'm just saying I haven't heard it.
Yeah.
To have a cow, to have a kitten.
Have a canary.
To have a hairy canary.
I've never heard hairy canary, but he did used to do middays, right?
Yeah, that's right.
No, he was a play-by-play guy for the Cubs.
All mean the same thing. I've never heard that phrase before in my life. I thought you have a coronary, mm-hmm. and she just said that.
Or have a conniption.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I've heard those. Also available, your calls on the Fez line along these lines.
So before you put this to bed, I got a story about a lady in a mall. My wife and I were at a mall, and you got a little sitting area, and this lady proceeds to take her sock halfway off, pull out a battery-powered teddy egg, and grind the heel dust off of her heel on feet.
Uh-huh.
Then dropped the petty egg grinder back in her purse and sweep the crust dust under the seat, put her shoes back on, and go in the shoe show to buy some shoes, I guess. So, but she did sanitize her hands. So, anyway. Cool beans, you might need that. Have a great show, guys.
Not sure which one the cool beans would need, but
crust dust.
Nice use of heel dust.
Yeah. Crust dust.
Crust dust?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Almost had a canary. And finally, this at 704-FEZ-3200.
Hey, guys. I was at a festival probably 4 or 5 years ago, and I saw a guy walking around with a hot dog, and he spilled some mustard on his shoe. He bent down to clean it up, and when he stood back up, his head touched the wiener of the American Dream, Dusty Rhodes.
Chuck Diapers coming through with the American Dream.
The wiener of the American
Dusty
Dream.
Rhodes reference. Never gets old. Never gets old.
The Woody and Wilcox Show.
Wilcox, I know you know the answer to this, but Chelsea, I got a little bit of a quiz for you. Do you know who the man named John Hinckley is and why he is, I guess, infamous?
I killed somebody. That sounds familiar.
You're close. Yep. He's the guy who shot then President Reagan in an attempt to impress Jodie Foster.
Ah.
The reason I bring it up is just let that statement sink in for a little bit.
Right. I've actually had that discussion with my kids who are now old enough to sort of understand those sorts of things and are fascinated by presidential assassination attempts for some reason. And that's one that's come up a lot. And well, then having to describe who Jodie Foster is and why that has anything to do with the president and how it doesn't have anything to do with the president.
Right.
It's a confusing conundrum.
And fascinating to me because he is now asking for his unconditional release.
I thought he was already out and had been out for some time. Like living with his mom and on weekends or, you know, he'd been out of like the loony bin for a while.
Yeah, but under some pretty strict restrictions, I guess would say. And I found out what those restrictions are. Obviously, he can't contact anybody in the Reagan family or Jodie Foster or her family or her agent. That sort of makes sense. He's not supposed to have any firearms or ammunition. That makes sense. But he's also banned from owning any compact discs with violent music. I didn't know that was a part of anything. He's banned from speaking to the press. Can't drive more than 30 miles from his home. And is also never allowed to erase his computer's web browser history.
How would they know that?
I guess you would go to his house and be like, I'm going to look up your web browser history. Oh my God, it's been erased. You can't do that.
You can erase things one by one, I believe.
Can you? That's got to be something I'm going to look into, Chelsea. Thank you for that tip. Alexa, set a reminder to clear my web browser history. But he says, look, this is a thing that I've been in the hospital for, what, 35 years, 40 years? I don't know the exact time, but he was found not guilty of the assassination attempt by reason of mental insanity.
Mm.
And so his argument is, look, if I was not guilty because I was sick, I went to the hospital, I'm now better, I should be able to do whatever I want. But
right.
It's been weird because I was looking up the story and I found it fascinating that they've tried over the years, over the past decade, he's had like limited visitation with his elderly parents. And then he was caught sneaking in pictures of Jodie Foster. And so like immediately was like, nope, that's not allowed. And I just thought, you know, really? After all this time, he's got something for Jodie. He's like, look.
Well, I mean, you said it at the outset. He is not fully functioning.
Right.
He's got some issues. Clearly, he tried to kill the president because of Jodie Foster.
Right.
I mean, so the fact that he's still infatuated with Jodie Foster, but that must have been early on. Right? Or is he not? I mean, because you're saying he says he's cured now.
His doctors say that he is no
whatever.
Longer.
It's maybe the cured is the wrong reason.
No longer a danger to himself or others, is what the doctors said. But this was back in, I think, 2010 that he was caught with pictures of Jodie Foster.
And that's against his release stipulation.
Correct. I just, you know, it's one of those things where it's fascinating to me that we're going to sit as a society and say he's not guilty because he's sick. And now doctors are saying he's well. But I think all of us go, yeah, but probably not. Right?
I mean, I think people can change.
You think people can change? I believe people can change. Do I believe that they can be no longer a danger after so many years?
Well, is it because it's Jodie Foster and we know that he has a history? Or is it like if he was sneaking photos of other women that you would think, well, that's interesting. Would that still be a problem?
It depends upon the women. You'd have to
give
me examples.
That's what I mean. I mean, is it because it's Jodie? I mean, we know he has a history with being infatuated with Jodie Foster to the point that he tried to kill the president because of it. So if he had put aside Jodie Foster and was now, you know, had a thing for, you know, Ruth Buzzy or something. Look it up, kids. I'm trying to think of obscure women because is that a sign? Is it because it's someone who most people are not infatuated with?
How dare you?
Like if it was, you know.
Ruth Buzzy is a beautiful woman.
You guys are thinking about this the wrong way.
If it was like, Rachel from Friends, would everybody be like, oh, well, yeah, of course. Look at the, you know.
It makes sense that he would still have a thing for Jodie Foster. It's how he learns to channel those impulses or whatever feelings he has about it. People who are addicted to whatever don't forget about things. Like from time to time, they're going to come up and they'll think about them. It's just what you do with those impulses or emotions, and that's the, you know, what he has to change.
It's like that sketch on Saturday Night Live. Do you remember the sketch where they are it's the Mr. Belvedere fan club?
Yes.
And they are they all stand up and they express how they should feel about Mr. Belvedere. I should want to get an autograph from Mr. Belvedere. I should not want to make a lamp out of his skin. Those sorts of things.
And by the way, please refer to him as Brock Toon. That's what they agreed to call him.
That was a great sketch on SNL, by the way.
Brock Toon. Yes, that way they could identify each other in public without having to physically announce that they're in a Mr. Belvedere fan club.
So for those of you just joining us, Woody mentioned that the dude who tried to kill Reagan is trying to get his full release, and now we've talked about a fan club of Brock Toon. So go ahead run the transcript back. I feel like there was maybe a viable link between all of those subjects, but I'm not positive. So what do we take away from this, Woody?
Tom Hanks.
Do we sign a petition?
We need to protect America's natural resources, and Jodie Foster is one of them.
What does Tom Hanks have to do with that?
Tom Hanks was in the sketch with
the Saturday Night Live sketch.
Yes.
Right.
He was the facilitator of that.
Right. Yeah. It's not helpful.
Nope.
The one who got me off on the Brock Toon now. That's all I can think about.
Chelsea, we're 3 days into the week. We're almost towards the end of the show. This is just one of those moments. You just got to let it pass. You just got to accept it. Maybe listen back on the podcast just to figure out how we got here to prevent it from ever happening again. I mean, I guess next time when Woody says, hey, anybody know who the guy is who tried to kill Reagan? Then we just cut it off there.
Right.
We don't allow it to get nearly as far as it did. Because all I got out of it was Woody was fascinated that they don't want him to have pictures of Jodie Foster. Right? Was there more to it than that?
Something about Brock Toon.
Then it turned into Brock Toon, right? Well, that was my fault. Right. I'm the one who turned the table
there. Okay, well, let's just end this train wreck.
We'll edit this when it goes live.
So for those of you that are frantically trying to write down a transcript of everything that was just said, you don't need to. There's going to be a podcast later. I mean, Woody and Wilcox channel of iHeartRadio, you can just drink this in later.
The Woody and Wilcox Show.
What did we learn on the Woody and Wilcox show today?
Nothing.
I wouldn't say that. We learned that KFC has a new colonel again. Now, you may think, who cares? It's Jason Alexander, by the way, the dude who played George on Seinfeld. If you haven't seen the first commercial that they released, I normally wouldn't be a huge proponent of this, but you need to see this video. Because it includes them saying the colonel is your mom and the colonel is your couch. Yeah. And at the end of the commercial, which is sort of done as an 80s funny sitcom theme, they all sit on the colonel, who is in the shape of a couch. I know you're saying to yourself, you're just making stuff up now. This is just words that you've strung together. I know it sounds like some sort of weird drug-induced...
It
probably is. The video's up on the Woody and Wilcox Facebook page. We also tweeted it out at Woody and Wilcox. And believe me, you're not going to find it anywhere else on the internet, so don't even try. Woody Game Wednesday today was based on the fact that I guess it was Mel Tillis' birthday today. So Woody played a game basically called Name That Stutterer. I believe Amy summed it up best on Twitter. That was the most boring game I've ever heard. Find that on the podcast. Look for the Woody and Wilcox channel of iHeartRadio. By the way, Amy, I don't know if you know, but that was instead of a game that Woody almost played called It Ends in Eeny.
It's true.
I would have liked that better.
Before you complain too much, weigh your options. Also on the show today, some of us learned that there used to be a 70s buddy cop TV show called Beaver and the Queen. We learned that popping your pimples while sitting at the Waffle House is apparently not something that everybody wants to see. There were a lot of great things that people discussed today on the show that were less than savory. Let's put it that way.
Yes.
You can find them all on the podcast, the Woody and Wilcox channel of iHeartRadio. We also, Cool Beans has been tweeting them out, so if you're not following at Woody and Wilcox on Twitter, you should do that. You can find the audio that way. Tomorrow on the show, we'll dig into the strange stuff on Craigslist with some Craigslist prices, right? Intern Dave, is there anything you wanted to add to sort of put a cap on the show for today?
He's going to do something here with a garbage can and... And he put the garbage can behind home plate. And the crowd is saying, we hear you, Brennan.
Actually, that's a clip from a baseball game where a dude got booted and then put a huge trash can on the field and told the ump to go to your home.
Go to your home!
That video, by the way, also up on our Facebook page. And we did tweet that out at Woody and Wilcox as well. But I was thinking of Intern Dave as opposed to that. Intern Dave, anything you wanted to add?
Another great show, guys.
It's the Woody and Wilcox Show.
Everyone in this room is now dumber.
Not for a second have I even dwelled on the fact that the show's over. I don't,
It's the Woody and Wilcox Show.
I don't, think about it. I try not to think about it, and therefore I, you know, don't.
Why don't you stop talking for a while?
Because it's a very healthy way to deal with something that is very, ultimately not that important in the long run. It's not important at all.
The Woody and Wilcox Show.